You are back with the conversation. This is the season for feasting, and as we enjoy the holiday foods, we take time today to pause and talk about food safety and our farmers as we enjoy the food that comes from farms to our table. At our round table today is Albert Louie. He's been with the Hawaii Department of Agriculture Quality Assurance Division for 38 years. He's currently the acting commodities branch manager, overseeing the USDA Fresh Fruit and Vegetables Quality Inspection Service. He is also the USDA Food Safety Auditing Coordinator for the Department of Agriculture, and he's been conducting food safety audits on farms, produce wholesalers, and packing houses since 2002. He's educated local farmers in the past in the prevention of food safety recalls of their produce. And Kevin Kelly is. He has served as an advisor to the University of Hawaii's Vice President for Research and Innovation. He currently manages a large federal research award for the university. He has served on the boards of numerous statewide and community organizations, including the Hawaii Science and Technology Council and the Defend Oahu Coalition. In 2013, he chaired the North Shore Clusters of Opportunity Project, an economic analysis focused on integrating existing regional assets to generate new jobs and economic opportunities. He founded the North Shore Economic Vitality Partnership to map out regional strategies. One idea is the development of a food aggregation facility. Kelly is also the founder of Hawaii's only USDA Group Gap Food Safety Certification Program. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Now, you know, we're talking about food safety and stricter federal rules about handling and record keeping. We did plan to have the Hawaii Farm Bureau join us, but we had a last minute cancellations. But thank you both for being here. And Kevin, can you set the stage for us? Because these rules have been in place for a while, and large farms and medium-sized farms are familiar with this, but maybe the small farmers are not so much.
Yes, the law was the Food Safety Modernization Act was passed in 2011, and the FDA understood that it would take some work to implement it, so they did a staged implementation where big and very big farms, they were covered right away, and they gave smaller and medium-sized farms more time. But come January 26, 2020, all farms must comply with the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Okay, and so that means more inspections and enforcement?
There are more inspections. I think it's a little, you know, the FDA is going to spend resources really looking at the larger farms that have more penetration into the market. I think it's really important to focus on the preventative parts of contamination. The act is really meant to create a safe food supply. It's not meant to be punitive to farms in any way. And so what the inspections are all about is how do we minimize the risk of contamination on the farms.
Okay. And then, Albert, can you talk about how these federal rules are going to affect the Department of Agriculture?
Okay. At the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, currently they're doing inspections in Hawaii, but they realize they're all coming from the mainland, the FDA inspectors, and they're doing the inspection, but they realize they need somebody locally. So they asked the Hawaii Department of Agriculture to help them to do these inspections on the farm. FDA have given Hawaii Department of Agriculture monies to train some of our inspectors to do the inspection work for them. And also part of this money is going to the University of Hawaii, the county extension agent, to help them to educate the farmers before we come out and do the inspection, okay?
So when will that start? When will the training for the state inspectors start?
The training for the inspectors will be in March. We have to go to the mainland. I think there's about six inspectors will be going to San Diego, be training under FDA, and we'll be taking over the inspection from them after that.
Okay. And all along, though, we've been trying to get the word out, right? Kevin, right? I mean, the College of Tropical Agriculture, I think, has got a number of programs in place to help kind of educate our farmers.
You know, the College of Tropical Ag does a fantastic job in the programs that they run. They have food safety programs. They have pesticide trainings, as does the Department of Ag. There's a really good support system for small farms here in Hawaii. And we're glad to be part of it in that, you know, we focus on really trying to get farms certified to the Harmonized GAP standard. That's a USDA standard. It incorporates a lot of the lessons learned from Department of Ag personnel and CTAR, but we're trying to really put it into action by getting farms actually certified.
So we're basically raising the bar on everybody. I mean, we've seen just here in Hawaii problems with rat lungworm, you know, by folks not washing their produce. We've had situations where we had bad product scallops come in from another country, and that got a number of people sick. So it's really important that we realize that this affects all of us, and it could mean, in some cases, life or death.
It does, and aside from everyone having a personal responsibility to wash their own food, you know, a lot of the farmers, they are learning how to walk their fields and look for evidence of rats or slugs or you know, animals defecating in the field and what to do about that. I think one of the biggest challenges of the Food Safety Modernization Act for most farmers in Hawaii is the record keeping involved. Most farmers are growing, you know, great products. They're doing the best they can with the knowledge they have to have safe food. I mean, they know their responsibilities. But when it comes down to the new federal law, it's more about documentation.
Yeah, I think when I recall doing stories for TV, when this was about to be rolled out, and I visited a number of small farms, that was the one thing. You're like, you know, I'm out in the fields, you know. I don't want to have to worry about the bookkeeping, and they were like pulling their hair out. Can you talk about, you know, what you're hearing from farmers?
Well, for me, my experience from all the auditing, farmers in general hate the paperwork.
Yes.
They hate the record keeping. And I realize people like Kevin Kelly is helping out the farmers with the paperwork, okay? And let's talk about the FDA inspections, okay? What to expect. Now, FDA is not here to shut down businesses. They want to help out the farmers, okay? In the beginning, before food safety, this act, FDA was reactive to an outbreak. So they go investigate. They realize how much food safety issues was involved. So now they're going to be proactive and educate the farmers to do preventative type of inspection. They want to get the farmers to understand food safety principles, and that's what they're doing now.
Yeah, the chain of custody thing is so important.
Yes,
you need
it
to
is.
Know where the stuff came from and track down, you know, where the source of the contamination is.
Yes, yes. In my experience with recalls, we're asking the farmers to put on their boxes a record of where the farm name and the product and their date of production, and also what field it came from. In the case of a recall, they can trace it back to the field.
Okay. And Kevin, you talked earlier about how these days you can get that information quickly.
Yes, there's been some companies on the mainland that are playing with new electronic tracking scenarios like blockchain, for example, where they've been able to reduce the time of a recall from 6 or 7 weeks where you're, you know, going through distributors and wholesalers and trying to trace it back to find a field to 3.5 minutes using blockchain. So there's new technologies coming on board that can really help with recalls and traceability. And it's super important because if it takes 6 weeks to figure out where something came from, the source of the contamination is probably gone by then. And so you really don't know what needs to be corrected or what needs to be addressed to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And so that's part of the Food Safety Modernization Act too, is again being proactive in how fast can we identify sources of contamination.
And so, Albert, these audits that you do, I mean, it really is helping farmers to figure out where the weak spots are.
That's true. That's true. In fact, some of these farms, they're asking for these audits because it's buyer-driven. The buyers, such as Costco, for instance, they say we would not buy from the farmer unless you get food safety certification. So these farmers, they're asking us to do the audit, but they don't know where to start. And so I refer them to the University of Hawaii. The county extension agent would help them and educate them and get them ready for our audits, okay?
And we've had situations where it's everything from contamination to maybe pesticides that either weren't supposed to be used on, let's say, herbs. You know, I mean, we've seen that in the headlines just recently.
Oh, yes, yes. In that case, that pesticide wasn't registered with the EPA. They got that from China.
So it's coming in through the back door.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Somehow folks flagged it. And
what happened in that case, the Department of Health, State Department of Health, they were analyzing the produce on the market, and they found out, they analyzed for pesticides. And they found out that this was an illegal pesticide. And then it got back to us to do the traceability where it came from.
Right. So it's all connected. They look out for us. They flag it to you.
Yes.
You then go down and
to the farm,
to the chain of custody, saying, okay, what are you using? You know, where did this come from? So it's really helping to keep everything on the market safer for consumers.
Yes, yes.
And I know we had Peter Oshiro from the Food Sanitation Branch here not too long ago, and he was talking about the programs that they have for the restaurants and shops. And he was saying, you know, the numbers of those cases have gone down, but consumers are a lot of times making themselves sick with some of their sanitation and their poor housekeeping practices. So everybody's got a responsibility. You've got the consumers, you've got the farmers, you've got the state inspectors, whether it's Ag Department or Health Department.
Yes. I like to talk about during a inspection what the farmers should be looking for when we go out to do the inspection on the farms to enforce the FSMA rules. One of them is agricultural water, okay? The irrigation water comes from different sources. Well water, you also have water from a river. Of course, you know, that's not really the cleanest water. The cleanest water would be your city and county water, you know, it's potable, drinkable water. So, but these water for irrigation, they're asking them to do testing on the water. I believe that generic E. coli, I think the threshold is 126 counts per 100 milliliter water. If it exceeds that, then there'll be a problem. Of course, the city and county water is clean, so there'll be less testing on it. But they do require as much as 20 tests per year.
Really? Wow.
It depends on the source of the water. And it gets quite expensive for the farmer.
So the farmer's got to pick up all those costs.
Yes. Yes. Unless there's a grant by the state that would help pay for the water costs.
Are you familiar with that, Kelly?
Yes. Actually, the Hawaii Agriculture Research Center, HARC, received a grant from the Farm Bureau to implement some lower cost water quality testing. And so we've been working with them, as have a number of other support organizations, to help farmers establish their water quality baseline that's required under the Food Safety Modernization Act. And that's exactly what we're seeing too, is if you're on city and county water, then your water's fine. Well water's a little better, or a little worse, but any surface water is really not acceptable for washing fruits and vegetables or you know, a packing house, you'd have to bring in other kinds of water. And then the other side of that is if you implement sanitization procedures on the water, that can be expensive as well. So water's a big issue with a lot of farms.
Okay, that's a biggie. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Our guests in our studio are Albert Louie, Commodities Branch Manager at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, and Kevin Kelly, President and CEO of the North Shore Economic Vitality Partnership. We are talking about food safety, and we'd like to know what you think. You can join the discussion by calling 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689. From the neighbor islands. You know, we did reach out to the Ma'o Farm, Organic Farms in Waianae. We talked to Cherise Kawisana, the farm manager there. She said that the farm has been practicing food safety processes for years, but not its training and not the formalization of the practices and the record keeping. Another concern she expressed was the training and resources for the farmers. For example, she asked for a food safety plan to guide them, but they've been told to look at different sources as a template. She says it's challenging because you know, a farmer would rather be in the field.
Some farmers will need help, you know, and if you don't have a template, it's very hard to at least train people to try. And then it'll become more of a frustration. And then my worry is that because of this act, you would probably shut down a lot of small, subsistence farms that help feed families, like local families and the local communities.
Kevin?
One of the things that we see in the number of farms that we've worked with over the past few years is development of the Farm Food Safety Plan. It's a plan that really just documents what you do on your farm, and it lays it out in writing. And it can be a difficult document to produce, especially if you're a farmer or an immigrant farmer that has limited language skills in English. And what we found success is we spend a lot of time on the farm with the farmers. We'll go out and make several visits and walk around and talk to them and document what they do, and then we write the plan, and we go over back and forth with them through several iterations, and then we finally end up with a farm food safety plan. And it's oftentimes very revealing to the farmer that just going through the process of here's what we do, things change instantly. We should be doing something else here, or don't tell us what you think we want to hear. We need to know what you're doing, because this is what you're going to be audited on. But that farm food safety plan is an important first step. And again, I'll jump back. There's a big network of people in Hawaii ready and willing to help farmers do that.
Right. So if there are farmers out there, no matter what island you're from, these are the go-to folks around our table today. So you can certainly reach out. When we talked to Cherise, she wanted to know how much the Department of Agriculture will be investing to help implement and educate the farmers about, the changes to come.
Okay, it's more the University of Hawaii who will be educating the farmer. We're the inspection arm of this rule, the law. And the University of Hawaii has a website called Tropical Agriculture. I believe it does have a template for a food safety plan. The website.
HawaiiFoodSafety.org.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, we did talk to Sana about this. Here's what she had to say.
They're making all these, this new law coming into place and stuff, but, what's the investment that they have done to have people to be constantly training new farmers or current farmers, small, large kind of productions? Like, if you have one person for a whole region, that's not very helpful at all. So what's their investment into making sure that we can help everybody out in a consistent manner, in a respectful manner? And, because I work with training young people every day, and it's not one person training 30 people. It's like a team of 12 of us, training young people. And my concern is that maybe there's not enough of that mentorship role that they need for all the small farms or large farms or people growing food in general.
I love hearing the ducks in the background there.
Right.
Anything you can talk about just about the successes that you've seen in your area on Oahu's North Shore?
Of course, the training of personnel is a challenge. And, especially small farms, they don't often have full-time personnel. Oftentimes it's family working on the farms and things. But you do have one person who's taken the Produce Safety Alliance training, and that is supposed to be passed on to all that person's employees. And documenting when you train and how you train is something you've got to do under the new law. So there's the immediate training of people already working on farms. It is something, it's a challenge. It takes time, and it takes time away from people doing other work on the farm. We've been starting to work with, for example, GoFarm Hawaii, who's doing a lot of the farmer training in the state. And so we're beginning to implement food safety documentation and compliance into that curriculum with GoFarm. And so new generations of farmers, this is just going to be how they do it. It's not going to be any harder or any more expensive because this is the way we do things. But it's going to take time to do that. And again, the FDA is really focused on a safe food supply. They're not going to put farms out of business unless it's something very egregious that you've been inspected several times and you keep doing this, then, you know, bad things would happen. But the idea is that we ensure safe food.
And you just shared with me that you just had a couple of your clients pass inspection.
Yes, last week we passed our first harmonized gap inspection. And harmonized gap is a USDA, Department of Agriculture, program.
Which is a higher standard?
It's higher than their older GAP standard, but the GAP program, harmonized GAP program, is voluntary. And it's the Department of Agriculture versus FDA. And so harmonized GAP is a certification program where you actually get a certificate saying my farm does all these great things. And harmonized GAP is largely equivalent to the Food and Drug Administration's audit, or inspection rather, inspection. Harmonized GAP does audits, you get a certificate, it's voluntary. FDA does inspections, it's mandatory.
Can I talk about a typical inspection when the inspector go visit the farm?
Yeah, what's involved?
Okay, so what happened is if we were to do it, FDA would be telling us which farm to inspect. Okay, and we'll actually go out to the farm, and in actuality, we're spending the whole day over there. We're looking at when they're harvesting. We're looking at when they're packing. And they'll be asking little questions. They're observing, okay, and see if there's any discrepancies they see when they're doing their inspection, okay? They'll take notes, okay, and what they see. And at the end of the day, all the other people get together with the management, and they explain to the farmer what they see that needs improvement. They're not going to tell the farmer how to do it, but they're going to ask the farmer, steer him the right way, what he can do, choices, what he can do to make improvement on his farm, okay? Now, if there's a whole bunch of discrepancies that they see, they'll come in and visit the farm within 10 days. Again, revisit the farm to make sure that the farmers have done corrective actions.
Are these pretty much like unannounced inspections?
In a way, mm-hmm. unannounced. But if there's immediate risk, they're going to visit that farm right away. Make sure the corrective actions have been done. Okay, now if a farmer passed with flying colors, they're not going to see a farmer for another 5 years or so. They move on to another farm.
Okay, so there's a degree of kind of confidence that you think, oh,
yes.
Okay, I'm doing what I normally do, and, uh-huh. and there's sound practices.
Yes, okay. So when they're on the farm, we're going to be looking at if the farmer's using animal manure, how he treats the, you know, compost, how he treats the compost on how many days and all that, just temperature taking. We'll be looking at the workers' health, the training records regarding food safety. For instance, if the worker, they're observing the worker if they're washing the hands, it's a key issue. As a general rule, they wash the hands with soap and water 20 seconds. Sing happy birthday twice.
Okay, that's what I heard, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And well, they kind of look if the workers are washing the hands after using the toilet, after smoking, you know, or if there's any other contamination in the hands. You don't have to wear gloves, but if you do wear gloves in your operation, you got to have a policy, a glove policy. Usually it's disposable gloves that they'll be using because they're handling produce, okay? Another area that we're looking at is the equipment, the tools, make sure they're clean and sanitized. Let's go back to talking about hand washing. People think that using hand gel, you're washing your hands. No, it's two different things. You wash your hands with soap and water, but sanitizing the hand will be using hand gel. That's usually in a packing house, but not on the farm.
You have to clean things before you sanitize them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's two different things. People get confused with that, on that. And then also when we're on the farm, we'll be looking for domesticated animals or wild animals or traces of them on the field. Because if there was any fecal matter close to the crop, that would be considered a no-harvest zone.
Like what, feral pigs kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Dogs, cats?
Dogs, yeah. They don't want animals inside the growing field or signs of them in the field.
That can be a challenge, though.
I know. So we asked the farmer to do a daily walk of the field, look for signs for animal intrusions. Okay. Another area we're looking at, if the harvesting bin is clean, do we prefer them to sanitize their bins after each harvest and then next day get it ready for the next day? Next thing we're looking at is their growing, harvesting, packing, and holding activities. That's where we'll be observing when they're harvesting. They were spending almost the whole day over there.
Right, and you're talking like stainless steel sinks or
oh, yeah, that's in the packing house, mm-hmm. Okay. We'll be looking at the farmers as they're on the field and then also in the packing house.
Okay. And and I know there's an issue about reusing
reusing
transport boxes, right?
Okay. They prefer to have brand-new boxes. But if you... I know Hawaii farms are known to have reused boxes of some other farmers, but that can be contamination right there. As far as recycled bins, for instance, plastic bins for harvest, we ask that at the end of the day that they clean and sanitize those bins and get it ready for the next day.
Okay. All the important tips to know about. You were listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We invite you to join our discussion about food safety rules by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Depletion, abundance, joy, despair, fire, water. What truly separates them? Are they really that far apart? Hawaii Arts Lab will explore these ideas in Yin and Yang, a varied vocal performance on Saturday, January 4th in HPR's Atherton Studio. The multidisciplinary show will feature classical voice and instrumentation, and a few surprises, too. Get your tickets now at hprtickets.org. Sponsored by Bonnie Rice and the Rice Partnership Wealth Management.
You are back with The Conversation. We are talking about food safety. And Kevin Kelly, you wanted to jump in here and talk about what farmers need to know.
Well, Albert was talking about how FDA, when they're debriefing after an inspection, they're saying here's the shortcomings of the farm, and it's up to the farmer to really try to address those. And those in the audit side, it's called a corrective action. In the group gap program that we run, you're working within a group of farms. And so because we see a lot of different kinds of farms and a lot of different activities, we can help farms address a lot of those things much more quickly than they probably could on their own. Just because we see solutions to all sorts of things, like luas on a farm. There's a lot of ways to do it. And where you put it is another issue. But the group is really important in also lowering the cost of certification. The more members we have in the group, the more we can spread the cost of audits around. And quite frankly, the way the group gap program works is that the more farmers that are in the group, the fewer farms are actually audited. So the USDA takes the square root of the total number of farms in the group, and that's the number of farms they physically audit. Now they go through all the records with us, and they do a record check. But the physical audits are the ones that really take time and cost money.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you had, for example, 10 farms, they would inspect 4. But if you had 100 farms statewide participating, they'd only go inspect 10. So now you're paying for audits for 40% of your farms versus 10% of your farms, which is a lot of money when they're, $1,500 each. Mm-hmm.
So you guys are participating in the harmonized audit?
Yes.
Right now, USDA has a big grant I don't know the amount, but anybody who does a harmonized audit, it's the cost is picked up by USDA.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know when it's going to expire until the money runs out.
But it will.
But I asked them and they said, probably 3 or 4 years from now, maybe.
So now's the time for all the small farms to come on.
Yeah. So and there's no cost.
Right.
So what should we be encouraging, let's say, the farmers on Molokai or, you know, Maui, Kauai, you know, because you're working a lot with the Oahu's North Shore. So what about the neighbor island farmers?
Actually, we're working statewide now. We realized quickly that there weren't enough farms on the North Shore to sustain a certification program. And we also realized that the real efficiencies and discounts come when you have larger groups. And so starting with our second cohort, we went Oahu-wide, and now we're statewide. So we do training via video conferencing. Our food safety director will go visit farms 3 or 4 times a year to do our internal audits and to do farm food safety plans and things like that. So we're set up to go statewide now. But okay. I think if farmers are interested, the successful people coming through the program are serious about farming. They're very motivated. Either just personally from having an outstanding farm to, you know, a buyer is asking for certification kinds of things. So there are different motivations for different farmers. But in the end, they got to see the value of having that certification. It is a public statement that this farm practices good ag practices, that we're committed to food safety and quality, and it can be used as a marketing tool as well.
Now, again, this is kind of design focus for small farms. We had talked to Cherie Sana, the farm manager for Ma'o Organic Farms in Waianae. She says the rules she sees them are beneficial for the public. She just really hopes it doesn't hurt the small farmers.
We want to have more small farms around our community and in other communities. So what I see it has been challenging is those small farmers getting those resources to be mentored or be taught or to be educated about maybe some of the simple things that they can just add to their practice. To me, if people are doing the pono things to keep food clean, it shouldn't be as much as a challenge. But if they're not keeping food clean, you know, and not really intentional about how they can make sure other people don't get sick, then I think that's what the act is for, is to help to regulate some of those bad practices to keep us, you know, in check. Because the last thing I personally want to do is make somebody sick because of carelessness or because of ignorance or because of a simple mistake that could have been mitigated by following these steps.
So, you know, there you go. Farmer wants to do the right thing. You know, they want to be out in the field, you know, making product for people and providing good product. And we have lots of good examples where we really have some awesome fruits and vegetables out on the market these days. When it's fresh, boy, you can't beat that.
I agree. And I also agree that, you know, all farmers are out there doing the best they can to produce high quality, fresh, tasty food. I will say that everybody learns something every time they go through some sort of training. You may think you know everything, but I keep learning things all the time. And in the end, one of the biggest challenges of the Food Safety Modernization Act is this record keeping. If you didn't write it down, then essentially it never really happened. And that's what an auditor would see, or an inspector. Where's your records on that? Because I need to know that everybody washes their hands here.
And Albert, can you talk about the whole issue of what farms will be exempt? I mean, you know, because we're talking small farmers, right?
Okay.
Come January 26th.
Sure. Okay. So, for the small farmers that be exempt, if they make less than $25,000 average per year, based on 3 years of your gross income. Okay. So they're exempt. Products that can be exempt from this inspection, for instance, recently is taro. They're just okay taro because taro, you can't eat it raw. You have to cook it to kill the bacteria at the same time. So there's some other products like off the top of my head, I can't remember, but the high-risk products will be like your lettuces, ready to eat. They are the one that they concentrate on. But products that you have to cook is considered a kill step that kills the bacteria. I would consider them to be less of a factor in contamination.
Right. The leafy greens hold water, and water is probably one of the biggest vectors of contaminating. Bacteria live in them, viruses transport that way, among other ways. But water's always kind of a, you want to keep your eye on wet spots.
Right, and I was kind of intrigued to learn that when, you know, Peter O'Shea from the health department was telling me, he said, yeah, you get that stuff in the bags, it's pre-bagged or pre-mixed, and it says triple washed, and he says, you still have to wash it. That's what we tell the restaurants, you know. It's like when you're handling large-scale produce like that and you contaminate a huge batch, that's a problem, like we saw in the recent recalls with, I think, the romaine lettuce.
Yes, it is. Let me tell you the experience of one farm that I did. His problem was nanny goose. Now, nanny goose is a protected species. And he was growing greens underneath on his farm, and the nanny goose were landing on his field and eating his lettuces. He could not harvest and sell it to the public on that because it's an animal and they make a mess on the farm. And it is a food safety issue. And that farmer realized it. And how did he solve the problem? He used electric fence, low-voltage electric fence, battery-operated. Hmm. It solved the problem. There are ways to solve the problems to get, you know, stop animals from coming into your farm. I know there's one farm that had a pig farm on top of his farm. And the runoff from when heavy rain comes into his farm. And he's asking me, how do I solve this problem? And I, as an auditor, I'm not supposed to tell him, but I know in the top of my head is the no harvest zone. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't harvest where the area where the pig runoff from their when they wash it, it comes down. Don't harvest it that area.
Yeah, I was I didn't ever think about stuff like that. And I remember covering a story just some time ago for TV, and it was an area that was flooded out, farms.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
it was just like, oh, look at all that, those the green onions. And
yes.
And there's, yeah, the pig farmer next door, all that stuff came washing through here. And I'm like, I really have to make sure I wash my green onions when I buy them at the market. So little things like that where you don't see it because you just buy it at the store or at the farmer's market, but you don't know where that stuff's been or what's been rushing through the area.
I would say even just in general, people see food as coming from restaurants or grocery stores. And we struggle with this a bit in our training with farmers is that people are interested in food innovation and value-added products. And these are all important things, and they're great opportunities for Hawaii. But no one really looks back to, you know, where that box of whatever came from. I mean, the front end of seeds in the ground to a box out the door of a packing house is not really recognized by the general public as, you know, they're not concerned with that. They just assume that we're getting fresh, clean, healthy food.
What do you do, let's say, when the wild pigs come into your area and eat your papayas? You know, I mean, I know I've seen farms where you've got the hoof prints because they're reaching up into the trees to try and get at the papayas.
Yeah, I've been in some farms, one particular farm, where they did have a pig problem. And the pigs, they go after the papayas that are closer to the ground. And they don't go after these papaya trees that are really high. I've seen some that's 10 feet, as much as 15 feet high, where they have to climb a ladder or use a forklift to harvest the papaya. So what he did was, for one thing, he built a trap on the field, and the pigs would go into it where he'll put the fruit inside, and it's a cage, and they trap them in there. And the more he trapped, the less and less throughout the years of the pig intrusion into his farm.
Right, but
he got in control.
Those are all the things that you've got to be mindful of. I mean, it's not one thing, it's another. You know, these poor farmers, right? And you've got the weather. You've got, you know, the flooding situations that maybe sometimes may be sort of beyond your control. If it's not your pig farm, but somebody up the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to watch out for your runoff from your next-door neighbor. That's what we look for when we do our audit. Mm-hmm. We'll look for who's your neighbor, and are you down from another farm? You know, and we look at what you're doing to prevent contamination. Some farmers, when that situation happens, they build a berm. I don't know if you're familiar with the berm along the fence line. And so it takes away that contamination away from their fields.
Okay. And then, gosh, I'm just trying to think what else we need to emphasize. You know, Kevin, I know you were working with the Turtle Bay Resort Gardens, the community gardens.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get to know the farmers out in your area. Anything else you can, you know, offer? I mean, I know folks wonder about, like, organic stuff, too. It's like, are the rules different?
The organic certification is different, and it lends right to the comment I was going to talk about is that, you know, again, with the Food Safety Modernization Act, what we see farmers challenged most by is the record keeping. And that's the same for organic. I'm not 100% sure, but it seems to me that the vast majority of the data that goes into each of those certifications is the same. It's about your farm, it's about your practices, it's about your documentation. And so I would argue that if you're organic certified, you could probably do a harmonized GAP certification with a little more effort. But being able to combine those is something that we're looking at North Shore Economic Vitality Partnership, just to get more of our organic farmers certified organic and really being able to demand that premium in the marketplace. In the end, it's all about, you know, how can farmers make money? And part of that is how do we make that record keeping, that data collection easier for the farmers? That's the biggest hurdle. And if we can somehow figure out how to lower the bar on that, then we're going to be able to translate that into more farmers practicing food safeties and documenting their work.
Are the rules the same if you've got like a third party company that's going around collecting stuff from backyard farmers? You know, the folks that don't have time to harvest their orange tree or tangerine tree. I imagine maybe if it's the threshold is a small farmer, 25,000, would that apply? They would be exempt?
They would be exempt if it's less than $25,000 in annual income.
Yeah, so. But still it's best practices though. You want to be
yes.
Right.
Confident that what you're selling isn't going to make someone sick.
Yeah.
So a lot of direct-to-consumer sales by farms comes under that under $25,000. And again, that puts the onus on the buyer. Do you know your farmer? Have you ever talked to your farmer at the farmer's market about what their food safety practices are and that you're concerned about it? And that's, again, that part of the detachment I was talking about earlier. It's a farmer's market. It must be safe, healthy food. But rarely do people ask about that.
So we need our consumers to be smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put some pressure on the farmers,
yeah.
Huh?
Let me talk about farmer's market. Especially the, I'm not going to name some. Okay. I find out farmers, they work 7 days a week. They really don't have time to go sell. So as the farmers market, most of them are middlemen. They buy from the farm, and then they sell it at the farmers market. And you see very little farmers that I've seen are actually selling. They're too busy
harvesting
on the farm because it's a seven-days a week job.
Mm-hmm.
So in my experience, very little farmers are actually selling in the farmer's market.
Up on the North Shore in Wailua, we have farmers at our farmer's market.
That's good.
That's good one.
Yes.
But you know, Luke,
vouch for them.
Albert, you're exactly right. Farmers are really way too busy to be spending a day at a farmer's market or 2 days if they go to two of them. And that's why on the North Shore, when we're looking at agriculture, we want to drive the economy of the North Shore. We want agriculture to become a permanent part of our economy because, one, it's always been there, and it's the best way to save open spaces and beautiful viewplanes. And quite frankly, the community values agriculture. They value the rural lifestyle. So part of our strategy for the food safety program is, you know, how do we make the supply chain complete on the North Shore? So food safety is a big part because we want to build a food aggregation facility. And again, this would help small farmers because now they could grow to an aggregation facility and access markets like hotels and hospitals that they really can't do on their own because of small supply and consistency of their products coming out. And so in the big picture of things, my organization is about economic development, but we're focused on farmers and the supply chain to really, you know, help drive the economy of Hawaii. And I would say the other opportunity on the North Shore is that ag and tourism don't work that well together in Hawaii. We have great opportunities for Hawaii to be an ag destination. I mean, why aren't we a world-class food destination? We have great farms, beautiful weather. We don't pay a nickel to get a tourist here. We got plenty of them. We got famous chefs. We got our own cuisine. So there's a lot of opportunity to have it, but again, it's aligning resources and making those things happen. It'll take time.
Right, and the whole concept behind the Turtle Bay Resort, the gardens.
Yes.
You're getting the community, getting the buy-in, and then helping to maybe, you know, hopefully provide, you know, fresh product for their hotels and the restaurants.
Yes, the Turtle Bay would love nothing more than to say, this salad you're eating tonight at this wonderful dinner was harvested this morning across the street. And I bet it would taste that good, too.
Yeah. Anything else that you think, Albert, that we should kind of just leave our listeners with as these new rules come down January 26th?
I do have a funny story. Organic farm who wanted also food safety certification. As you know, organic farms are sometimes they deal with animals on the farm to help kill the weeds or something. So usually, first time I went to did an organic farm was a farmer someplace in, I think it was Upper Kunia area. And I asked him, how do you control your bugs? Because organic farms, you're not supposed to spray, or you can use organic spray, I guess. But I asked him, how do you control your bugs? And he says, come, I'll show me. He goes on to a little cage, he opens it up, ducks and geese. They're walking all over his farm. I said, oh, that's a food safety issue right there. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I don't think I can certify you. Okay. But organics, when you do organic certification, they got to have organic seed. Right. And there's a source, wasca.org, they have a listing of organic seeds. I'm just talking to you about it, where you can find it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I recall one time talking to a farmer, and he was in a dilemma because I think the nene were attacking his crop, yeah. And he was trying to get creative, so he would fly his remote control airplane.
Right.
You know, because you do have issues with birds attacking, yeah, the crops, and I know they, I think another story I did where they had noisemakers. They had people out there with, yeah, with tambourines and throwing rocks with slingshots just, yeah, to kind of get, right, the birds, you know, away from the crop. So people can get creative.
Yeah, little Mylar streamers that flicker and kind of scare the birds. And
yeah. Well, any final thoughts, any takeaway that you want to just kind of have out there?
I think the last word would be that, you know, food safety is everybody's responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, farmers are keen on it. They're thinking about it all the time. If there's farmers out there listening and they need help, please go to North Shore EVP, and our website is nsevp.org. You can find out what we're doing. But even on the consumer side, I think the public needs a better awareness of food safety and sources of contamination, even in your own home. I mean, washing your cutting board after you're using it. Every time there's an event, people are amazed that so many people getting sick, and it's something that is preventable.
Okay, and then we didn't get any farmers calling in today, but if you know a farmer and you've heard something that could be helpful to them, you might want to pass on the word. I don't know, we've got another minute left. Any final thoughts from the Department of Ag?
I recall exemption for the farmer. Oh, if you grow your own product and you consume it yourself, you're not subject to the rules. But if you once you start selling it to a wholesaler or retail, you can be subject to these rules. But for your own personal consumption, they don't look at it.
Oh, and I thought of something. Aquaponics. Anything different for aquaponics?
Oh, yeah. Aquaponics.
Okay, got a minute.
Okay, aquaponics. mandatory harmonized audit.
Right.
Yeah, because they found out that fish is a cold-blooded animal. It does not carry E. coli.
Right, yeah, fish poop, but
yeah. But salmonella does enter into this where it might contaminate the produce. Usually aquaponics, they use the Go Greens, which is a high-risk product.
Yeah, and there's lots of water around, so there's lots of sources of contamination and avenues to spread that contamination.
Okay, so but as far as then a go-to site where if you're doing aquaponics or something else, they can reach out to your website and you can help steer them in the right direction?
Yeah. I've done food safety audit on aquaponics farm before, but they were doing it just to find out what area that I can identify that needs improvement. They weren't trying to sell it, but they wanted to be food safety certified. Just by doing the audit, they learned where they need improvement.
Okay, so there are resources that that you can go to
yeah.
help your housekeeping and just help your farm overall.
Yes.
Right.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank our guests, Albert Louis. He's the commodities branch manager at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, and Kevin Kelly, president and CEO of North Shore EVP. And we thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. And if you heard something that was interesting to you, contact the Talkback line. Leave your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation Podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of the conversation.